You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, welcome back, HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes, along with, of course, none other than Trish McFarlane. How are you, Trish?
I'm good. It would have been funnier if you would have said someone else's name, right?
It might have been funny. Might have thrown the listeners off. So what a podcast am I listening to?
No.
Is this American Life? Is this Serial?
I love this American Life. I love Serial. I love ours
I love
more.
HR Happy Hour more,
I love HR Happy Hour more. We need shirts that say that.
I love
HR Happy Hour, you know, on the back it can say more than This American Life and more than Serial.
I like that.
That's a whole other topic for another day.
And I still have HR Happy Hour swag at my house in a box.
People need to reach out. So if you're listening to the podcast, tweet the show, tweet at Steve, and he will send you your own HR Happy Hour t-shirt.
I have shirts. I think I have some mugs.
Yeah.
I don't know what all. Maybe.
Yeah, I like it.
Mouse pads and
there you go.
Bottle openers.
And, of course.
A stump grinder. With the logo right on it. So
the logo should be everywhere. Plastered everywhere.
So yeah, tweet the show at HR Happy Hour if you're interested in some swag. One quick announcement from me, Trish, of course, HRTechConference.com. Check that out. Working on that hard. 3 months away only.
That's
the HR Technology Conference.
I can tell you. That will fly
Go to HRTechConference.com. Use my code, a gift to you, Steve200, $200 off your registration fee. Hope to see loads of listeners at the show at the event in October. So, Trish, let's talk about the other event, though, that's really important.
The big one in my life, right?
We're live at Inforum 2017 at the Javits Center in New York City. I love coming to New York City, Trish.
I do, too. And, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking earlier this morning, this time last year, you and I were here at Inforum.
Indeed, we were.
We did a HR Happy Hour show, in fact, from a pub. This time it's a much more quiet.
It's not as fun right now.
We are in Area 15.
That's right.
Here at the
Area
event.
15 podcast.
Actually, we're quite grateful that it's kind of a quiet little place to get away and record this. But I came as an analyst, and things were just very different. And I, of course, had worked with Infor, but I think that was really, I was saying on stage earlier today, I think that's when it really started to hit me that this was a product I could get behind. I was interested in what their vision was, and not just for HCM, but for all the products in general and how they interplay with HCM technology. So here I am 1 year later working here. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year for sure. Yeah. So, but great to be here as well. I'm glad to be here. It's been an interesting event.
I have barely seen you, seriously. You haven't even come to my sessions, so it must mean that you're out. I know, right?
It must mean that you're
out, like, no, truly, seeing interesting things, right? Because I think the nice thing about Inforum is it's not pure HCM technology, right? It covers all the industries that we cover, but especially in healthcare and manufacturing and retail and aerospace, and so, you know, all the others. But I don't know. What have you been seeing? What have you been interested in while you're here at Inforum?
Yeah, so the thing that has been probably most interesting to me, and there's a few things that have been interesting. I think artificial intelligence and some of the announcements around artificial intelligence
tools. Can we just touch on that a moment?
Have been fascinating.
That was
Why don't you maybe talk about
our biggest announcement. So we just launched our AI solution, which is called Coleman. When Charles Phillips, our CEO, announced that yesterday, if anyone was following on Twitter, it was absolutely an amazing experience. I've been to so many events over the years, and I'm not saying this because I work here or because I have to. I absolutely don't have to say this, but I told him afterward, this is the only time at an event I actually had tears in my eyes. So our solution, Coleman, was named after Katherine Coleman Johnson.
People know her better as
from Hidden Figures. She was, you know, one of the instrumental people in NASA, one of the first human computers who was heavily relied upon to actually, you know, work with John Glenn and some of the other astronauts. So, you know, it's with that same spirit. I think that's what interested me too about it in general. It's just like they make it, everything we do is so tied to people. And that's just one example. And so we had her family here. And it was just really a touching moment. So if technology can be touching and human, I think that we nailed it for sure with our Coleman AI.
Yeah, so AI was really interesting to me for many reasons, and we're going to be talking about that a ton at HR Tech in terms of AI in human resources and in recruiting. Mm-hmm. I think probably the thing I'd maybe rather talk about, at least right now while we're sitting here, is maybe the other thing I thought has been most interesting both last year here at Inforum as well as this year, and it's really the kind of attention to design and to user experience that I've seen in the last couple of years here. So maybe we could talk about that a little bit, because it's been pretty a common kind of thing in the HR and HR tech space for the last few years to talk about user experience and the importance of consumer-centric or consumer-like technologies in HR, but I feel like we've talked about it a lot, but we don't talk about, well, what does that really mean? How does that manifest in technology? And then I guess the third part, which I think, Trish, you can talk about a ton based on your experience as an HR leader, you know, and a purchaser of these systems. What does that mean to the HR professional? That's probably most important to at least the people who listen to this show.
Right.
So let me talk about a little bit how design influences the things that are happening here in technology and what that means.
So one of the differences here, because I've worked with a lot of vendors in my time as an analyst, what's really different here is that we have, it's called Hook and Loop. It is our internal design firm. When Charles Phillips and our senior leadership team came to Infor, several of them came about 6 years ago. They were a couple years into it, and they really saw a need there. Because again, like to your earlier point, there were all these conversations about you know, the user experience and the interface that the user sees, and it just didn't look and feel like something people wanted to use. It didn't have that consumer feel to it, and so and to be quite honest, our, you know, here at Infor, it didn't either, right? And so they built this entire group of individuals who are so talented, and their background was not necessarily in technology. Many of them, you know, came from other disciplines within design and fashion and architecture or whatever, but they come together. And I can tell you now as an employee on the other side of it, you know, when we create what we think will be a good direction in terms of solution, something that will solve a problem that an HR leader or a business leader or even an employee will experience, we partner immediately with the Hook and Loop design team.
Okay.
And that way we can make it to where it's a very personalized experience for every single individual at that company. So instead of maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even now, depending on who you talk to, solutions are sometimes built one way, and that's the way you buy them, right? They don't look like your organization. They don't feel like your, that's maybe the better word. It's hard to capture. They don't feel like you.
Well, I mean, we go back into the time capsule,
mm-hmm.
right? Or
yeah.
It's not really, I guess you don't go back into a time capsule, do you? That would be difficult. If we go back in time to back in the day, Trish, and I've heard about some of this. I don't remember much of it. I was quite young. But that was one of the first real kind of challenges from organizations moving from really heavy custom development and building bespoke applications for their own organization to move to commercial off-the-shelf applications for things like supply chain, for things like financial management, for things like HR, right? And it made sense, right? Because it was so process-driven, right? Old ERP, and maybe to some extent still current ERP, was really all about process, right? And making processes more efficient. And so most processes, to make them the most efficient as possible, can be kind of distilled to generalized similarity across organizations. For example, right, the legal process, the legal forms you have to fill out to onboard a new employee, right? Every single employer has to fill out the same forms.
Correct.
Right, and do the same steps. So you could genericize an onboarding process as an ERP or an HR technology provider and try to sell it to 10,000 companies.
Well, and that's what they did.
That's exactly what happened.
But what that
what,
did is
what
it
did
took,
that
okay, so we talk about this all the time in HR, we, you know, of technology being afraid that it's taking the human out of HR. Okay, what that did, what you just described, took the human out of all of technology and process. And that was the miss, right? That's where people really missed the mark, because what they gained in efficiency, what they gained in maybe cost savings of not having a multitude of customizations, which also then, of course, hindered their ability to have updates in a timely manner or without as many bugs. So you gain a lot by having standardization, but what you miss is you lose the ability for the user to want to use the solution you're providing in the first place. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you look at even at the HR technology conference, you know, we've seen that for years where people are struggling with, okay, we've built this standardized product. How do we get people to use it?
Yeah.
And that's where Charles Phillips had the insight to say, we have to make a beautiful solution. It doesn't mean completely unique to that particular buyer, but what it does, he did it in two ways. It's not just the design, it's the industry focus, which gives you that extra added base layer of uniqueness. That, because look, I've worked in healthcare, for example. Healthcare HR, I remember the day I started in healthcare HR, and all the people who worked in the department told me, oh, but we're different. And my thought process was,
yeah. I mean, every company says the same thing.
No. But I really thought,
I've heard that 10,000 times.
Not in HR so much, I don't think. But because we always felt like, look, HR is HR, right? You have to pay your people, you've got to give them benefits, take care of it, whatever. In a healthcare, it is different. You're caring for people who are caring for sick people. That's a very different mindset of employee, and their needs are different, and the way they schedule is different. And so, you know, what we're doing here is really taking that layer into account. And when you add to that layer of the industry expertise, the beautiful solution on top of it, it starts to make, even though it's not a customized solution, for that individual company, it feels like it.
Well, here's the thing. I just wrote a very profound note on my notes, and I'm going to try to make a point here. Let's see if this makes sense.
Let's see.
So this combination that you're talking about, and some of the hook and loop guys talked about today, this kind of, and I'm going to steal this slide for sure. It's kind of like this cool Venn diagram of development, design, and data, right? Kind of intersecting in the center.
I feel like you're going to have a whole session someday about this, right?
I'm stealing this completely. I took a picture of the slide.
It's like your strategy. What is it? Strategy?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors,
talent,
right?
Strategy, culture.
I know, exactly. So this is your new...
This could be my new one.
All right, but, I'm sorry, I shouldn't interrupt. Go ahead.
So here's the point, right? So old ERP, old commercial off-the-shelf applications, the same for everybody, genericized processes, ring efficiency into each every process, squeeze all the costs out, blah, 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 no differentiating at all. And there's two points I want to make. One is, because I spent a lot of time doing ERP implementations on the finance and procurement side before I got into HR, and they were all the same, right? They were all the same. And because we thought about an accounts payable process, a purchasing process, an inventory delivery process, right? A time to fill up the processes, all the things we had.
Right.
There was almost the only competitive advantage we could really wring from them was cost savings and efficiency. Mm-hmm. There was no other really strategic competitive advantage, certainly no talent advantage. I think one of the problems where sort of ERP and HR systems that are attached to ERP systems went wrong, and maybe sometimes still continue to do wrong, is they take that same ERP mindset and process optimization mindset and they'll try to apply them to HR processes. Mm-hmm. Now, sure, there are some HR processes that do benefit from process optimization, ring costs, really don't offer much competitive advantage. But the problem is we used to start to think, and you said that a little bit a second ago, Trish, that we used to think HR is pay your people, get them enrolled in benefits, make sure the forms are filled out, stay compliant, right? Mm-hmm. With a possible exception of some of the compliance stuff, all that other stuff, we decided to genericize the competitive talent advantage away, and we stopped thinking about how important those things are to employees. Payroll and benefits being on the top, but certainly learning and development, performance management, talent management, all of that. And that's the challenge, and it's really a challenge for organizations who are trying to apply ERP thinking to HR, because it doesn't always fit. That's my larger point. And I have one more great point to make, but maybe else. Should I make it? Should I keep talking?
Go ahead. Yes, keep talking.
This is my other point.
It's your show.
So it is our show. We can talk as much as we want. We're in Area 15. No one's bothering us.
That's right.
But I would say there are no snacks, no beverages, no nothing in here. Ridiculous in four. Can we get a beverage, please?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so he's skipping out. There is a
I am
whole
skipping lunch
host
to do this podcast.
Choices in the hub right now as you speak. So we've just, it was a little noisy.
So here's the other thing I want to make, which I thought was interesting. It's an observation. I'm going to observe this observation.
You go right ahead.
So what we can do now with modern technology, with this combination of design, development, and data, is kind of skip that middle step of having customized solutions for every individual organization,
right.
and jump right over that and get right to personalized solutions
exactly.
for each employee. And we don't have to, and that's huge. That's a huge shift because I don't know how many billions of dollars were spent customizing solutions for the organization, which all they did was create a very unique set of technologies and processes and programs just for that one organization. And it still made the same experience for every person at that organization.
Right.
It didn't really improve any individual's experience. It improved the organization's experience, maybe.
Right.
Now we can skip all that and go right to the person. And I think that's really fascinating.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, for me, it's sort of, I pinch myself seriously working in this role because it's all the things I ever wanted when I was a practitioner that I never had the ability to get because it didn't exist in that way. And it was moving the other direction. It's like come full circle now where all of those elements are now here at my fingertips to be able to work with my team to really bring this to the masses.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, an example is a few weeks after I joined Infor in early January, we have a new CHRO, Ann Benedict, brilliant woman, background in science and in psychology, and just someone who's so intuitive when it comes to the way human resources needs to work. So not only does she get to deal with our 16,000 employees on, you know, some of these very core needs and core issues, but she's able to work with my team and me to help guide us. And so it's like in 5 short months together, we're already seeing such a great improvement. It's like that drive to try out new things. And because we don't want to build something if it's not going to be useful to human resources, if it's
sure.
not going to be useful to employees, and it's taking, you know, it's like, I don't know. Again, I can hardly believe that I am in the opportunity where I have a design team at my disposal, you know, and I can have them and their expertise helping me think it through, that I have actual, you know, each of our industries has a whole HR strategy team who are, for example, in healthcare, they're former nurses, you know.
Right.
These are practitioners in retail. These are practitioners in manufacturing, people who have, you know, been chief operating officers in large manufacturers who are now guiding us internally to do these things. And so that's the beauty of it. I get to partner with these people and talk through what things should look like. And it gets back to what should it ultimately feel like to the individual employee. And that's what we're doing. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I don't want it to sound like a commercial, I tell you what,
right.
I think people who've listened
to
the show...
You're allowed to brag a little bit.
No, seriously. And I think people who've listened to the show long enough know I'm not someone who jumps on a bandwagon for the sake of doing it, and I have to really almost be persuaded and convinced that there's value to it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't wholeheartedly believe it. So it's exciting, and I'm excited that things are now like really being shared in the public, especially after Inforum. This is great.
Yeah. So just a quick reset: Steve Bowes, Trish McFarlane, HR Happy Hour Show live, Javits Center, New York City, Inforum 2017. Beautiful summer day in New York City. Last thing, Trish. Last thing.
Yes.
So, if you were back in your old role, just put yourself back in your old
okay.
role as the HR practitioner,
sure.
just for a second, right? Knowing a lot more today than say after your time in the analyst world. Now
right.
your time at Infor and doing other things. So it's been I don't know how many years now. A few.
Five or six.
Put yourself back in that old role, the mm-hmm. HR leader organization. Where are you thinking? What's in your head? What would you tell? Oh, wait a minute. This is letter to the 5-year-old prior Trish. Isn't that a thing?
Right.
Letter to your 12-year-old self?
Yeah, okay.
Give me 3 bullet points of the letter to your 5-year-old Trish about technology.
I could talk for hours on this.
I know, but we only have time for 3.
Well, it's my show. I have...
Well, we can
no,
say.
I'm kidding.
I will need to get some water.
No, I think... I would just... It might even boil down to one. I would just tell my old self... Really read up on what the trends are and then kind of throw out half of them, right? I think I focused way too much on what someone else said was the trend.
Okay.
And even now, I'm really getting away from that because they're interesting. I probably said this way too much if you talk to my team members, that something they can bring to me or we discuss, it's interesting, but it doesn't mean we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like HR leaders are sort of told in from so many directions, follow these trends, right? These are the trends. If you're not doing this, that, and the other thing, that's a trend.
Right, I know.
You're
I'm
behind,
guilty of it too.
Or you're okay. if something is a trend, it doesn't mean it's good. It just means that a lot of people are starting to do it. And if a lot of average people are starting to do something average, you don't necessarily want to be on that bandwagon, all right? So if I had to talk to myself 5 years ago, I would say stop worrying about that as much. Know what they are. Figure out the one or two that you could really blow up into something, into the next generation of that trend, maybe,
okay,
that applies to your organization. And back to the personalization you were talking about earlier, just in technology in general, it's find the ways to make trends that are widely used very, very personal to your individual employees, and figure out how to get the money to do that. I think, too, HR leaders are sometimes a little cautious. We don't know how to build a business case, or we don't, I don't think we think we know how. Do it anyway, right? Everything I've done in the last 5 years, these are positions I would have never found myself suited for. I would have never thought I'd be working on designing product with a team of talented people. Like, that would have been the farthest thing from my mind. You learn so much when you just roll up your sleeves, jump in, ask questions, do it.
Trish, that's awesome. I appreciate you thinking about that on the spot with my letter to the five-year-old Trish. Not the five-year-old Trish.
Five-year-old Trish. Oh, my
Wait,
goodness.
That's not right.
I was, you know.
Letter to the younger Trish.
Younger Trish.
I'll work on that for myself for the next show. Like, a letter to a young Steve.
A young Steve?
I would advise myself
to... What, like 15 years ago? Or
practice more basketball and never stop practicing based on the contracts that are coming out in the NBA.
Speaking of basketball, did you check out? We actually, because we're doing work with the Brooklyn Nets, we have some very fascinating information being collected on a half court down in our hub today. So if you haven't gone down there and shot some baskets and let them track,
I'm going to check that
accuracy
out. I know I will enforce the
and your ability.
The jersey sponsor of the Brooklyn Nets, and do have a deeper partnership that you can read about, data science and player performance and
absolutely
a lot of
it's so fascinating.
And even more interestingly enough, I know we got to wrap up. Customer experience in the arena that you guys talked about today.
Oh my gosh,
today.
Did you see that?
Oh, it's amazing.
See, how do I come to work and not
be excited?
But
now I'm challenging you. Now okay. I'm putting you on the spot,
okay.
Trish. You got to throw some power around this place.
Okay.
I want a Brooklyn Nets show where we get somebody
goodness.
From the Nets to come on with us, and I want like some sort of VIP treatment at the Brooklyn Nets arena this fall when we go to the game. All right? Can we make that happen?
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me at Inform, by the way. It's
Thanks for coming. No, this is fun. We really don't highlight the inner workings of Infor often enough, and this is a really great excuse and a great time because we have so many things going on. So
it's been
thank
fun.
You.
Thank you. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening to HR Happy Hour Show, HRTechConference.com, of course, H3HR.com, subscribe.
Check out Infor.com because we'll be sharing all of our videos from some of our main stage presentations and all of these new solutions that were just announced, and you can learn more there.
So that's all the places. Thanks
that's
for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show. We will see you next time, and next time with a special 8-man rotation HR Happy Hour show from Summer League in Las
with
Vegas.
Matt Stolik.
So stay tuned for that. So thanks everybody for listening. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.